Welcome back to It Could Only Happen to a Pastor. I'm Matt Capps, and I'm here with my co-host, Josh Revis. And today we have some good stories for you. And so let's jump in and see what we have kicking it off. We got Josh.
Well, this is, boy, what a story. The listener writes in and says, early in my ministry, fresh out in my early 20s, I had my first church staff position. There was an older gentleman in the church who, let's just say, didn't exactly like me. He was always mean-spirited, critical, and would do things like swat my hat off my head because apparently hats weren't allowed inside. I'll admit, he made me angry more than once. Fast forward a year or two, he had surgery, and I was assigned to the visitation rotation. And I arrived at his house only to find him stuck on the commode, unable to get up and calling for help. There I was, standing in his living room, the only person there tasked with, well, helping him clean up and get back to his recliner. I won't lie, I was equal parts grossed out and furious. In the moment, I wondered if I was really cut out for the ministry. But looking back, I realized how prideful I was and how patiently God humbled us in ways we'd never choose for ourselves. And let's be honest, sometimes ministry is way messier than you'd ever imagined.
That seems like God's sense of humor and sovereign providence in one story, right?
Yeah, man. It's this, and boy, the theme that, like, I don't know how many of us have ever had to assist church members on the, as he put it, commode. I don't know that I've had that particular experience, but God does have a way, man, especially early in your ministry, of humbling, because we all think we're the dude. Like, we're the guy who's got it figured out. Yeah. Like, once I get my hands on a church, once people hear me preach, you know, I'm going to be the one who gets this Christendom thing rolling again, you know?
Yeah.
And God just has a way to remind us over and over. When you talk about gross, when I was one of my first jobs in ministry, I worked, the church that I was at had been built. Built a big family life center. And so you've been in some of these churches before where the family life center is bigger than the church. You know what I mean? It's like basketball courts, track around the top, weight room, you know, probably doing jazzercise. I don't know what else.
Jazzercise
for Jesus, maybe. I don't know what was going on there. But I worked the front desk. And so, and I was just kind of, you did a little, you were like the minister of miscellaneous if you worked in the family life center. So you had to do everything. And one of my responsibilities was to clean up at the end of the night. And so I had to clean the bathrooms. So there was a men's room and a women's room up front. And men are disgusting. I don't know what happens when men go into a restroom. And this doesn't just, it happens in church bathrooms. You just go in and it's like, is this a gas station? Like, what happened in here? And so I'm in there and I'm cleaning up. And I was hot, man. I'd been at school all day. I was working that night, and now I'm at the end of the night. I got homework to do. I'm cleaning up this bathroom, and I was down, and I was having to clean up around the toilets on the floor, man, just because people can't aim. And I was scrubbing these floors, and I was, like, having this talk with myself and God, and I was just like, this is ridiculous. I was like, I'm here studying for the ministry, right? Like, this isn't ministry. I'm supposed to be preaching or visiting or teaching, and I, like, scrubbing people's mess off the floor isn't da da da. And man, it was one of those real moments where, the Holy Spirit meets with you in a men's room, right? And I don't like hear voices. I'm not, but it's like where you hear God speak deep in the recesses of your heart, where it's like, oh, big guy, like, are you too good for this? Like, Jesus washed feet.
You're gonna
feet,
wipe butts.
You're wiping floors, man. Like, but it's one of those things. Like, if you're too good for this, if you're too big for this, you're too big for the ministry.
Absolutely.
And there's a D.L. Moody quote that I love, that says that you can be too big for God to use, but you can never be too small.
Mm-hmm.
And God has these ways of making sure that we remember that we're small. In the best way.
Oh yeah.
Because when you forget that, and especially this humbling moment where it's like the last person, God, it's like God's sense of humor. It's like the guy who you like the least needing you the most. You know what I mean? And it's so poetic that God put him in that place in that moment and humbled both of them. You know what I mean? Like humbles not just the minister for having to help the guy that he hates, you know, well, hates a strong word, dislikes deeply, but then also this guy having the one person who shows up to help him be the guy that he probably thought was the most incompetent, sorry, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's how God works.
Yeah, but like the stuff you see, like they don't teach you this in seminary.
Yeah.
Like I've seen, dude, I've seen more scars. Like when you go to like the work, I learned early in my ministry going to visit the hospital, like not to ask people how it's going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's certain questions you don't ask.
Because I made that mistake earlier. Like, how's it going? Oh, and then they like, I've had so many people pull back their hospital gown, right? And it's, and then they're showing you, well, they cut on me from right here. Yep. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah. And then you, have the moments where you walk into the room and you ask them, how can I pray for you? And I remember one gentleman in particular who just wasn't doing well. In fact, he passed a few days later. Mm. You know, he asked me if I would pray that he would be completely healed and walk out that day.
Oh.
And so, you know, I'm at this point, I'm a pastoral intern and I'm in seminary and I'm trying to like work through my theology on all this. And it's like put to test in that moment. And so you got to like work out a prayer at, you're like talking to God. You don't want to give false hope. You want to be theologically accurate. You want to encourage like that. Really, the hospital room is where you get trained for the ministry more than anywhere else.
And even like what you were figuring out there, you learn really quick what theoretically and theologically you think, but then how it practically works itself out in real life. Like even the most staunchest sovereignty guy, you know, you go, well, in that moment, what should I pray?
Yeah.
Like you pray for him to get healed.
Yeah.
Like, you go, you're big God. You can heal this guy.
Heal him.
You don't have to, like the last thing that guy needs at that moment is like, God, if it's your will. But God, if it's not your will,
take him quick, Lord.
Take him now. You know, like that. Like you have to put all, like you just go, what does this person need in this moment? For the guy in our story, this guy needs to get up off the toilet. You know, like he's got to get back to his recliner. And you find that so much, and I could almost promise you, I don't know the story, but I would bet that this guy, the commode man, was probably this guy's biggest supporter going forward.
Oh, I bet,
that he had in that church.
Gotta be. Yeah.
Like went from being his greatest enemy to his greatest ally. Why? Because he met him, not because of some sermon he preached, not because he taught him some deep theological truth, but he loved him and cared for him at his least of moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think it's just a great reminder, even in those like, one, boy, we say it at the end of every one of our podcasts, expect the unexpected. I don't know that it gets more unexpected than that, but it is a good reminder that those unexpected moments are sometimes the moments that God uses to teach you the biggest lessons.
Yeah, I would not know what to do in that moment. I mean,
call 911. Yeah. What? At least call the church office. Yeah.
Can I get a deacon over here?
Yeah. That's what... Yeah. This feels like a senior pastor situation. Yeah. Oh, man, that's so good. Yeah. Well, Matt, I think it's now time for our favorite segment. And so, do you have a legend and lore for us today?
Oh, man, this one's both painful and you can feel it. Like, someone's going to read what our listener gave us. We spent weeks planning a big church event. Games, snacks, decorations, the whole works. So you've been in that situation.
Yeah, man.
You put all this energy and thought and you shop and you plan and you decorate for a big church event. Well, here's what happens. Come event day, we open the doors and crickets. Ugh. The only attendees were my family who I'll just say this is really sweet. His family clapped at every activity and pretended that the snacks were just like
five-star,
you know, gourmet. He says, I tried to hide my disappointment, but let's be honest, nothing humbles a pastor faster than an audience of three. On the bright side, we all had plenty of snacks to ourselves, and the kids were so thrilled with their VIP treatment. Lesson learned, even if no one shows up, show up with a sense of humor.
Man. And because in this moment in particular, the only thing to keep you from crying is laughing. Yeah, man, I sighed in the middle of that because I think this is something that every pastor can feel so deeply.
Oh yeah.
And to be honest, it like you feel it to scale. You know, we probably have a lot of guys that are listening who are in established churches, and it's probably more of a point of humor among staff members. Like, I planned my event and nobody came, and mm-hmm. so you kind of poke and jab. But I know too, we got a lot of planners that probably listen, because would this be in a product of NAMM? You know, yeah. we've got a bunch of Send Network guys out there. And man, there's just so many moments you hear about, and you can feel it, where, man, you're launching your first service, or you're having your first community outreach, or you're going to do this thing. And man, it's like you're planning and preparing, and you're putting in all this work and effort, and you've given late nights, and because you're everybody, like mm-hmm. you booked it, you planned it, you scheduled it. Like if it was Easter eggs, you stuffed every single Easter egg.
Yep.
And then, you know, you just sit there and wait, and no matter how spiritual you are, no matter what your theology is, you feel the ramifications of the results.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And the enemy can really use something that was completely out of your control to be an incredible source of discouragement. And all of us can, and the really hard part is social media, because the only thing that anybody ever sees, like, you know, we had 478,000 people at our Easter egg drop, or, mm-hmm. you know, we had our seventh service, you know, on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then nobody ever posts on Instagram.
Yeah, like, here's our fail festival.
Yeah.
No one showed up.
Yeah. No one came to our fall festival, and my kids ate all the candy. You know, like we had an Easter egg hunt, and my kids found all the eggs that they hid.
We just decided to leave the eggs and go home.
Yeah. Nobody posts that. And so that's the danger of feeling sort of siloed and isolated. That you're going, man, I must be the only one not doing this well.
And the thing is, to use the old Eugene Peterson quote, you know, just having that long obedience in the same direction.
Yeah,
just
man.
Keep pressing on. And prayerfully, hopefully, at some point you can look back on that moment, perhaps like this brother is, and laugh about it and say, you know.
Yeah.
What I love about this story, though, is how sweet the kids are.
Oh, dude, that's
his own children, like,
because the rock star, especially for a lot of our planners, like the unsung hero,
yeah,
in so many of those churches is the wife and the kids,
yeah,
you know, who, like, you know, dad's the one up there pastoring and doing the thing, but man, kids are there setting up chairs and, like I said, hiding egg. Like those kids probably set up all of those activities
mm-hmm.
and then enjoyed them. And we're just like, we did a great job setting up this thing. These games are awesome.
This was a great family fun night. Thanks,
yeah,
Dad.
Yeah, Dad, we did great. Yeah, thank you so much. But really, you know, him recognizing that they were like, you know what, they knew what I was feeling, so they were giving me the best encouragement they could give me. It's not just events, man. It's such a struggle in ministry. Results are so hard. Like, it's why I think every pastor has something they do in their life, like for a hobby or just spare time, that produces results that you can see. Like, I don't know what yours is. Mine's mowing the lawn. Mm-hmm. I like to mow the lawn, and it's because I get to see the lines.
Yeah.
Like, when I prepare a sermon, I spend all week preparing a sermon. I preach it. And then you just don't know what happens with it. Maybe not until years later. Like when I mow the lawn, I'm like, that was long. Now it is short. I see straight lines.
I did something.
Yeah, I accomplished something. But because the results aren't in our control, like how many times, we haven't talked about this, but how many times have you preached a sermon somewhere and there was like a response time and nobody responds, mm-hmm. right? Nobody comes. What is it that people always say to you after the service? People who are well-intentioned, who want to encourage you, they'll always say stuff like, oh man, if I wasn't saved, I'd have gotten saved tonight.
Yeah.
Or they'll say, it was a really good sermon. I don't understand why nobody came forward.
It was a really good sermon. I don't understand the sermon, but it was a good sermon.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, but they see, like, he probably feels bad because nobody went to the altar to pray or came down to make a decision or do things. Because again, they tie the result to the feeling of success, you know? And so, and I remind people all the time, like if they say that to me, I'm like, oh, listen, because listen, it happens a lot when I preach and nobody moves. And so what I tell them is, I'm like, oh, listen, I've just been called to preach. God fills the altar in the aisles.
Yeah, just like, be faithful to the word and let God provide the fruit.
Yeah.
You know, there's another side to, you know, you think about this brother here that planned this event and nobody shows up. I was on staff at a very large church at one point, and we would do, I can't remember if it was our Christmas play or Easter play. And I mean, you'd have three packed auditoriums.
Yeah.
Right. With, I mean, there's thousands of people coming to this thing. Buses from every church in the county.
Yeah, other churches. Yeah,
so
other churches love to go to your thing. So you they didn't have to do.
So you can publish pictures of what's happening. You have a full room, lots of excitement. Well, one of my roles at the church was I had associate pastor of assimilation was my title. Don't abbreviate that on the door. But I had to take all the guest cards. And I would call everybody that checked, prayed to receive Christ. And so, you know, there were 60 or 70 of them. So I'd just start calling one by one. And I'll never forget this one older lady. I called her and said, hey, you know, this is so-and-so from the church. I'm just so encouraged that you checked, that you prayed to receive Christ at the Easter Christmas play. And her response, I'll never forget, she said, oh, Lord, honey. She's like, I pray to receive Christ every time I come to that thing. It was a wonderful show.
Oh, yeah.
So
we need to have another conversation.
Yeah, we need another conversation. But I would just say this, you know, the health and the success of a church or a ministry is not based on the success of an event.
No.
You know, this faithful brother that plans this event, no one shows up. This mega church that has an event and thousands of people show up, like almost similar results, right?
Yeah.
And so, don't judge your ministry based on numbers or the things that, you know, we typically count.
Yeah. You remember in the Old Testament, when David is anointed, and it's this reminder, one of the main points is that God doesn't see like we see.
Yeah.
Like he just doesn't see the way we see. And God's measuring faithfulness. That's what he's measuring. And so if you show up, like if you do the work God has called you to do, and you're faithful to do your part, mm-hmm. in God's eyes, that's what you were supposed to do. Like God is going to bless that faithfulness. And I'm always encouraged, like you see Mark Clifton and some of these guys that post, the guys who are on the rural and the replant team. But even some of our planners, because you don't always get to see, but if you're attached to them, you see kind of their launch. And so often, I think they get discouraged by the number of seats that don't have people in them. And I just want to go, dude, there are people who are there. It's not about the seats that are empty. It's about the seats that are occupied. Mm-hmm. And
sometimes those seats are called commodes.
Yeah. And sometimes, but it's like, don't lose sight. Like, you be faithful to what God's called you to do and trust him with the results, really, because it's his hand of favor that's going to bring about the results of your faithfulness. You cannot manufacture the kingdom of God.
Yeah, I just want to say, brothers, God sees you wiping your people's bottom. So, well, that's, I think we need to end here. That's going to do it for this episode of It Could Only Happen to a Pastor. Look, we hope you've enjoyed our stories and had a few laughs along the way. And if you're enjoying the show, let me just encourage you to leave us a rating, a review, share it with your friends, help us get the word out. Really, the goal here is just to laugh and encourage pastors.
And remember, this podcast, it's about your stories. And so if you've got a funny story or an unforgettable tale that you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear it. You can connect with us on Instagram at itcouldonly, or you can send it to us via email at resources@nam.net. And don't worry, if we share it on the podcast, it'll stay completely anonymous. So until next time, remember in ministry, expect the unexpected, and take the gospel seriously, but don't take yourself seriously. You've been listening to It Could Only Happen to a Pastor, brought to you by the North American Mission Board. For more information, visit nam.net. That's NAMB.net.